Hello, you're listening to Murder Bird, a podcast where we talk about crimes involving women and girls. My name's Sophie. I'd just like to firstly thank everyone for being so patient. I did take an extra week's break just because I wanted to. What are you going to do about it? But I feel much better and I'm coming at you with a doozy. This case is a doozy. I have never said that out loud, and it sounds horrible. This week's case is about catfishing, gender deception, and sexual assault. This is a story of Kai Fortune and Gail Newland. We're in Chester this week, you and I, a city in Cheshire, England. It is a cathedral city close to the border of Wales and is one of the best preserved walled cities in Britain, which just means it's got loads of old defensive walls from absolutely ages ago. It is also home to the University of Chester, where Chloe, not her real name, studied. We don't know much about Chloe, as she has maintained her anonymity. However, the most important thing we do know in relation to this case is her relationship with her boyfriend, Kai Fortune. In 2011, Chloe received a friend request on Facebook from an attractive and athletic young man named Kai Fortune. Chloe did not know who this person was, but she accepted the friend request anyway, and the two began chatting. They soon discovered that they had many things in common. They both lived and studied in Chester. They were both a similar age. They were both around 21 years old in 2011. They loved the same music and films, and they enjoyed each other's company. Online. So despite having not met in real life yet, the pair began a romantic relationship. The two continued their online relationship for an entire year. Chloe was desperate to meet Kai. He was her boyfriend after all, and they lived in the same city. She would often ask Kai to meet up in person, but he was reluctant, coming up with a myriad of excuses as to why they shouldn't take their relationship to the next very real level. Kai did let Chloe have a small peek into his real life by introducing her to his best friend, Gail Newland. Gail was also a student at the University of Chester, and she was also 21 when Chloe and Kai's relationship first began. Chloe and Gail became good friends when they met in person. They went to gigs, watched films, and played netball together. Chloe, understanding that Gail was her boyfriend's best friend, wanted to make a good impression. I'm sure that meeting this small slice of her online boyfriend's real, actual life also meant the relationship felt more real, despite having not met after a year of dating. However, Chloe's wish was soon to become a reality, because soon after meeting and befriending Gail, Kai agreed to meet her in person, but under some conditions. Kai told Chloe, during their year-long relationship, that although his Facebook pictures showed a healthy, attractive and confident young man, this could not have been further from reality. The reason why he was reluctant to meet her was because he had been in a car accident, leaving him disfigured and self-conscious about his appearance. He had also undergone brain surgery, was suffering from cancer and had a debilitating heart condition. Because of his medical ailments, Kai insisted that when they did meet in person, Chloe must wear a blindfold when with him at all times. He didn't want her to see him as he was in real life. Because of his heart condition, Kai said he had to wear a compression suit to control his heartbeat, and his chest was bandaged due to a nozzle. I'm presuming this is also because of the heart condition. There is no denying these are strange conditions to meet someone for the first time, or the second time, or the third time. It is true that many people would have sacked it off at this point, fed up of being strung along by this unfortunate soul who has been dealt every bad hand the gods could think of. But for Chloe, who by all intents and purposes had fallen in love with Kai, was happy to go along with what he asked. It looked like Chloe was blinded by love, not seeing the red flags frantically waving in front of her. She felt that their connection was of the minds, as they had not met in person, and that their love was pure and true. Kai had even bought her an eternity ring and had talked of marrying Chloe in the future. Chloe had also recently left an abusive relationship, leaving her vulnerable to Kai, who had swept her off her feet. So, in 2013, Kai and Chloe met in person. As agreed, Chloe wore a blindfold and they met at a hotel in Chester. They had sex, Chloe still wearing the blindfold and with her hands tied behind her back so she could not touch Kai. He was just so self-conscious about his injuries, his compression bodysuit and his bandaged chest that he couldn't bear the thought of her touching him. During the trial later, Chloe said she had agreed because Kai had told her that he needed to wait until he trusted her not to touch him while they were intimate. Another condition accepted by Chloe, a demonstration of her affection, trust, and perhaps naivety. After their first meeting, they met again in a hotel before their meetings evolved into every Sunday at Chloe's flat for 3 months. Sometimes even meeting midweek. As well as being intimate, the couple also went for drives together, sunbathed, and even watched films. All the while, Chloe remained blindfolded. When asked about how they watched films together, Chloe said she just listened, but they would often chat and cuddle and kiss, meaning that she didn't really miss out on much. It was only a matter of time before suspicions were aroused. How long would it take for Kai to trust her? After a few months, the pair had spent around 100 hours together. They'd been intimate over 10 times. They had known each other for almost 2 years. What else did Chloe need to do to prove her love for Kai and be allowed to see him? Well, it was during a moment of passion that Chloe went to grab the back of Kai's head, a moment where it was apparent her hands were not tied behind her back, and she felt something not quite right. This was the final straw. Chloe ripped off her mask, and as her eyes adjusted, she saw not Kai, her affectionate and loving boyfriend of 2 years, but her friend Gail, wearing a strap-on. Terrified and confused, Chloe ran and locked herself in the bathroom, whilst Gail tried pounding on the door and asking Chloe to give her a chance to explain herself. This betrayal, inevitably, ended up in an argument, with CCTV capturing the pair having a row outside Chloe's flat. That same evening, Gail attempted suicide by jumping off a canal bridge. She was injured, but thankfully, she survived. Gail Newland was from Willesden in Cheshire. She was from an affluent family and attended a private school in Chester that cost £12,400 a year in tuition fees. Gail said she had been happy at primary school where she mixed with boys and girls. Gail's best friends were all boys and she felt more comfortable in a mixed environment. It was when she attended an all-girls secondary school that Gail began to realise she was different. Gail knew she was attracted to girls, but unsure how to cope with these feelings, she turned to the internet. At first, she joined chat rooms under false names to talk to people, before this evolved and Kai Fortune was born. Gail hid behind this identity, using photos and videos of an unknown Filipino-American man. At age 15, Gail created Kai's Facebook page, using hundreds of photographs that she had compiled over the years. Despite claiming to live in Chester, if you looked closely at Kai's photos, the buildings and houses in the background were distinctly American. That wasn't the only boo-boo Gail made when she created Kai's account. Putting her creativity to good use, she blessed Kai with the same birthday as her, the same dog with the same name, Gypsy. They both studied at the same university and the same very unique course, marketing with creative writing. And they also shared the same taste in music and films. Obvious to us now, but perhaps not when you are not directly comparing the two in real life situations. 2 days after Kai's real identity was revealed, Chloe went to the police, and in September 2015, Gail was found guilty of 3 counts of sexual assault and was sentenced to 8 years in prison. The end. Oh no, wait. This sentence was quashed by the Court of Appeal in 2016, after it was decided that the judge in the original trial had not summed up the evidence fairly to the jury. A retrial was scheduled for 2017. During both trials, Chloe and Gail provided conflicting accounts of what happened. Chloe's account was as we have detailed previously. She met Kai on Facebook and knew him as the male Kai Fortune. She developed a relationship with Kai that was romantic and sexual, and she developed a separate relationship with Gail, which was close but strictly platonic. Chloe said she had built a relationship with Kai that was based on their minds, not on sex, and she finally felt happy after an abusive relationship. After discovering the deception, Chloe said it had a devastating impact on her life. She suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and anxiety as a result. I hated myself. I felt filthy, disgusting, she told the court. There were not enough showers in the world to clean me. At other points in the trial, she refers to herself as a pathetic and naive idiot with the worst judgment in everything. Going through deception like this must be like being deceived by 2 people instead of 1, and finding out that the man you loved never existed, and having to come to terms with that, is almost like going through the grieving process. The incredulous defence team questioned why Chloe had never cottoned on to the fact that her boyfriend was actually Gail. They pondered to the court that if she allegedly could not see Kai, why couldn't she sense him in other ways? Taste, touch, sound, and smell. When they presented the fake penis used on Chloe, she broke down in tears. You think it's hilarious, don't you? She tells the lawyer. It's my life, but you think it's a joke. When Gail took the stand, her own account of what happened could not have been more different. Gail told the court that she had met Chloe during a student night at a club called Gender Blender in Chester. It was here that Gail divulged her secret alter ego and told Chloe about Kai's Facebook account. The pair apparently bonded this night and they shared more secrets, telling each other that they were gay, but nobody knew about it. Although they were at a gay club, it is normal for people from all sexual orientations, all genders, all walks of life to attend these nights out. Gail was surprised when, soon after she met Chloe, she added Kai on Facebook. They began a secret relationship, apparently based on roleplay. Gail was pretending to be Kai, and Chloe was pretending to think Kai was real for over a year, with no break in character. Gail acknowledged it was silly, and that it was just two girls struggling with their sexualities, having a bit of fun together. It was said that Chloe did not wear a blindfold when they met up and had sex, but that the intimate side of their relationship was conducted as Chloe and Kai. Gail said it was fun and it was easier than having sex without pretending to be an alter ego. I don't know. So if what Gail says is true, why did the relationship break down in such a dramatic way? Gail explained that she had told Chloe that day in 2013 that she was going to come out to her parents as a lesbian. Chloe had met Gail's parents during their friendship and she had become close with them, with Gail's father even speaking to Chloe's landlord on her behalf when she had an ongoing issue. Apparently, this revelation set off the argument, as Chloe was not comfortable with being outed or even being potentially outed as being a lesbian. This is why they argued. This is why the CCTV caught them rowing on the street. This is why Gail attempted suicide, as she could not cope with losing a friend and the overwhelming emotions in that moment. When the retrial had concluded, Gail was found guilty again of 3 counts of sexual assault. This time she was sentenced to 6.5 years in prison, and she will be forced to be registered as a sex offender for the rest of her life. "Why a sex offender?" she cried as she was led away from the docks. "Because your crime is about sex? You had sex with someone without their consent? Where were you during this trial, Gail? That is why." There were mitigating factors that the judge considered during sentencing. Gail was said to have a complex psychological background. She'd been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, in which a person can experience distress because there is a mismatch between biological sex and gender identity. She'd also been diagnosed with Asperger's, a form of autism, as well as eating disorders, anxiety, and depression. But the judge acknowledged that her background was not an excuse for what she had done, especially eating disorders, unless I'm missing something that doesn't really have anything to do with pretending to be a man online for more than 2 years. But any aggravating factors? Thanks for asking, because there's shitloads. 3 women were named in court who say they were also catfished by Gail / Kai back in 2009. One woman, named as C, began her relationship with Kai 2 years before Chloe entered the scene. They stopped their relationship whilst Kyle was involved with Chloe, very noble, before briefly resuming where they had left off when Chloe had gone to the police. C regarded Kai as her boyfriend and became jealous of other women in his life. She was irritated and despondent that he refused to meet with her, with one memorable message sent to Kai saying, "It's times like these I wish I wasn't in love with a fucking ghost." C eventually discovered the truth about Kai's fortune, revealing in a written statement to the court that she had examined his Facebook page like a proper internet sleuth and looked through the profiles of his friends. Once she realised that Kai and Gail Newland were two of the same, she came to the conclusion that she had been duped. To confirm her suspicions, she phoned Kai, disguising her own number, and asked for Gail. "Speaking," Gail replied instantly. Not only did Gail have impeccable form when duping women, she also managed to defraud her own employer out of 9 grand just, you know, in the time between her first and second trial while she was on bail. Can't waste that time being unproductive and not defrauding people who employ you. And the cherry on the shitty, duplicitous cake, the texts and emails sent between Gail and Chloe were, probably, to me anyway, the most damning of all. Chloe sent Gail a text on the night of the confrontation that read, "Are you for real? You should be locked up for what you've done to me. You raped my life, my heart and soul. No amount of counselling will make up for this. You are pure evil, Gail. You are sick. I only have one question. Why me? If I had not ripped off the mask, I would not have known the evil truth." Had Chloe really concocted this convoluted and bizarre cover story in the hours between the confrontation and the night of, just in case this case went to trial? Would she have used the word raped if she was just referring to Gail wanting to come out to her family? Or is it more fitting in Chloe's version of events that Gail was masquerading as Kai the whole time? That same evening, Gail replied with an email entitled, "Explanation as best I can right now. I know Kai is who I am. It's my personality," she wrote. "I had to make up lies to cover up the initial lie. It turned from a seed into a tree. I felt guilty every day, but I knew you needed me." Unsurprisingly, the prosecution considers this Newland's confession. Me and the prosecutor consider this. What? Why? Are you still role-playing, but then you're referring to Kai as a third person? Like, what? In what world would this defend your case that Chloe knew this all the time and you never lied? It's so... well, I don't know. I think it's bullshit, but... when researching this case, I was certain of my own opinion. Chloe is telling the truth. And although bizarre, she was conned into a sexual relationship by a woman who was not only her boyfriend, but also a friend in real life. If Chloe's lying, why would you put yourself through something like this? She's remained anonymous throughout. She hasn't done it for attention or Instagram followers or for a lucrative book deal. It's, to be quite frank, a really humiliating situation. It's so strange, and when you're reading the facts, obvious that something wasn't right and you went through with a sexual relationship. Why on what planet would you want that to be brought to your, people's attention? Why would you go to court if you're lying, if it's not true and you are just, you know, confused about your sexuality? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know if it makes sense to you. I would like to hear if, you know, you have a different perspective. That'd be great. But I personally do not see what Chloe would gain from lying about this for years just to stop Gail from outing herself to her parents, which happened anyway. So I thought it was cut and dry. Job done. That's me dusting off my hands. Nothing else here to do, lads. It's sorted. Black and white, clear as day. But then I found a Facebook page supporting Gail. And I found a few articles defending Gail. These articles are from sources I wouldn't necessarily use or find reputable. They will be in the show notes if you want to check it out yourself. But from the Facebook page and the article, well, from the Facebook page, it seems to be a lot of people who know Gail personally and like Gail, which is good, who are saying that Chloe is lying and Gail's telling the truth. So, I mean, you can say that if you want, but, you know, twice she's been tried and twice she's been found guilty. You know, we're not at the court, so we don't get all the evidence, but it does seem unlikely that that's the case. And in the articles, the general consensus is, okay, well, if you can be sentenced to prison for lying about your gender, what does this mean for people who are transgender? Which is a completely fair point. I feel like there's a lot more to this specific case than she lied about her gender. She tricked someone into having sex with her by pretending to be someone completely different. So it's a little bit different, but I can see why that would be a concern. Absolutely, 100%. Another point is, what does it mean if people lie about their financial situation or their job just to get someone to sleep with them? Should they be jailed too? How about don't lie to get something you want from someone else that you know you wouldn't get if you were truthful? If that's the case, if you don't think they should be jailed, then I should be able to lie to get money out of someone else and not be punished for it. What is the difference between with sex? You can earn 10 grand back. You can't take that sexual experience back. I know it's not as simple as that, but come on. So is this a gotcha moment? Maybe. Like I said, I personally feel like there's a lot more layers to this very specific case that meant that Gail should have been incarcerated because she had intent, she had historical offences, and let's not forget, she's caused severe and lasting psychological damage to Chloe. It doesn't matter how silly you think it sounds, or how, oh, I would have never fallen for that. It doesn't matter. Someone was hurt physically and mentally. And in this case, the perpetrator should and was punished. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Murderbird. Like a previous episode, it is a little bit polarising. Like I said, I thought it was cut and dry, but apparently not. And there are issues involved in this case that do complicate it. If you have any questions or want to discuss this case further, I would absolutely love that. So please do not hesitate to contact me. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at MurderBirdPod. I've got an email address, murderbirdpod@gmail.com. If you are enjoying the podcast, I would love it if you could like, subscribe, leave a review, do whatever, wherever you listen to podcasts. But if you just want to listen and you don't want any of that obligation, then that is totally fine too. I enjoy just making this and listening to my own voice, so that's fine. But yes, I will be back next week with a new case, so I will see you then.